According to my records, in the last five visits to you, we've been working through the Epistle to the Ephesians, and we have looked in that time the first four chapters. It's almost as if you've been reading Ephesians chapter 5 from your prayers tonight, when there was much quoted from the content of that chapter. That was very encouraging. What I'd like to do, God willing, this week and next, is to just go a little bit quicker in order that we can perhaps conclude our studies of the book this week and next. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, and I'm going to read into chapter 6, down as far as verse 9 in chapter 6, and we'll see how we get along. So Ephesians chapter 5 from the first verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the Church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. For I speak concerning Christ and the Church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. We believe that God blesses when we read publicly from his holy word. Let's just take a wander then through these verses. Now, we'll try and get through the verses that I've read, although not in complete detail. There is a section of it that I would like to return to next week, God willing, but we'll mention that in a moment. So let's start then at the beginning of chapter 5. There's an injunction, an order, a command, if you like. Be ye followers, or better, imitators of God, and indeed of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In what way? Walk in love. Christ loved us and has given himself for us as an offering, a sacrificial love. These two verses, in some ways, are a help for us in understanding later on when we come to the three sets of relationships that we have mentioned in the scriptures that we've read. We have to take our example from Christ. Christ loves us. And as we've mentioned in prayer, Christ loves us, despite knowing absolutely everything about us. Now, we might look at other people and we might be able to see, in the way we tend sometimes to look at people, we might be able to see things that we don't like in them. And we see those things that we don't like in them, and it affects the way we feel about them. But the instruction is, be imitators of Christ. Because that person that you look at, and you can see little faults in them, little do you know, but those people are far worse than you ever imagined. And Christ loves them. Why not you? And then, of course, look in a mirror. And people look at us, and what do they see? Little failings? God sees it all. And he loves me, despite that. So, it is never an excuse to reduce our affection, stroke love for our fellow believers on the basis that we feel that they fall short. Christ loves them, and Christ loves us. And we're told that that love that he exhibited, which was of course a sacrificial love, why not then for us too? That love that Christ exhibited and continues to exhibit is something that pleases God the Father. It was at Calvary in particular, we think, how that sacrifice there was a sweet-smelling savour, pleasing to God. And whenever we demonstrate love to one another, it rises to him as something that is well pleasing to him. That's the message of the first two verses. Be imitators of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we start talking about reprehensible things, I suppose. And maybe we feel, as we look at this, these churches in those days, they must have been pretty bad, mustn't they? I mean, look at the things that are mentioned, we might say. And if we say that, we have already fallen into the trap that we've told ourselves we shouldn't fall into in the first two verses. Things have not changed. Not at all. And the problems that were associated with the believers in those days are still there now. And the opportunities for such things to occur are far increased now above what they were. The message is as relevant as when it was written. As we look at, for example, verses 3, 4 and 5, there are a list of things that are, if you like, sexually immoral. But not just things that are sexually immoral, it makes reference to filthy language, inappropriate talk, lewd jokes. All those sorts of things are covered in these verses. Far rather to spend our time giving thanks, as we've already been enjoined to do tonight. Now, notice that it doesn't just condemn these things. Surely we know they're all condemned. His message to them is this, that none of these things should even be named among you. They shouldn't come even close to things that you discuss or are in your conversation at all. They have no place at all amongst the people of God. Because he says this, clearly, these things have no place where Christ reigns as the kingdom of Christ. These things have no place where Christ reigns. And we are familiar with what we've had already in Ephesians and are going to have reminded of again later, that Christ is the head of the church. And then when we come down to look at a couple of verses 6 and 7, we're told to watch out for those who might deceive us. Watch out for those people who are appearing to have a foot in both camps. People who seem to be able, part of the time, to be part of a fellowship and living a holy life, and at the same time, at a different time of the week, they seem to have their foot in another camp. And are very close to, if not involved directly, with things that are inappropriate. Don't be deceived by them and feel that it is fine. Do not be partakers with them. That's verses 6 and 7. Now if we break in, see we're moving fairly quickly. Now when we come to verse 8, he says, but you were at one time, sometimes, at one time, darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. And we have much reference to this in prayer too. Now we will have looked, as we've gone through Ephesians, the use of these pronouns, ye and we. Because one of the big teaching elements of Ephesians is confirming to Gentile Christians that they are Christians on an equal basis with Jewish Christians, because they had an inferiority complex, not helped by the Jewish Christians having a superiority complex. And it had to show them that they're all one in Christ, they're all equal. But it does say, when he uses ye, he's talking about Gentile Christians, and when he talks about we, he's talking about all Christians together. And you see that as you work through the book. And so in particular, because the principal audience, the principal receivers in these churches to which this was sent were Gentiles, he reminds them that at one time they were darkness. They were in the dark. They were totally dark. Not only did they not know Christ, but they did not have a part as the original, if you like, people of God, Israel. That they were in the dark. But not anymore. It's all changed. They are now light. Not in themselves. They are light in the Lord. Now he says, walk as children of light. Now, there are lots of illustrations used in Ephesians. We'll obviously make use of them, and the illustrations that are used in the book are far better than the illustration that I will use, but in this case I'm going to use an illustration. Because really, the picture here, if you like, is of the moon. Now you know that the moon has no light at all of itself. And yet, that moon is in direct contact, in line with the sun. And it reflects that light to a dark world at night. And on a lovely night, the whole earth can be bathed in light, because of the presence of the moon there, reflecting the light of the sun. Now that's what we are to be. We have no light of ourselves that is of any benefit to anybody else whatsoever. But we do have the light of Christ. And when that shines on us, if we permit then that we allow that then to shine in the dark world, it will make a difference. Now in order to do that, we have, as it were, to be separate from the world, from the earth, as the moon is. We have to be above it, in a position where we can bask in the light of the Lord, in order that we can then reflect that light down to be of value in this dark world. Now that's the picture. So we have, verse 11, no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. One of the problems in our current world that was not the case then was this. Is this. Although we do not go seeking after the inappropriate things that are mentioned in these chapters, those inappropriate things nevertheless are able to get into our home. And that's a great concern, or ought to be. We don't invite them in, and yet, if we switch on the television, or if we listen to the radio, or we go onto the internet, there so easily into our home can come filth and inappropriate material which we have to actively prevent. And when those things appear, when we are seeking something legitimate, that we immediately avoid it. If we are to be those who are lights or reflections of the light from Christ. And so it says in verse 40, arise, and Christ shall give thee light. Lift yourself above these things into a position where you have become separate from them, and you have nothing to do with them. And then, having been lifted up into that, Christ can shine on you, and the light from you can shine on others. It brings us to verse 15, which basically says, be careful how you live. Walk circumspectly. Redeeming the time means make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil, and the days are short as well. Verse 17 says, understand what God wants you to do. Now that's three or four Thursday nights ministry in itself, isn't it? Knowing what God wants you to do. You know already that that involves spending much time in His presence, much time reading His Word, much time meditating on His Word, much time speaking to Him, even more time listening to Him, listening to other believers too, in order that you would know what it is that the Lord would have you do. Then we have an illustration which I would never dare to use. And yet the scripture uses it, so it must be perfect. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that's an amazing illustration in itself. As I say, one I would have almost thought was blasphemous to use, but the Bible uses it. I don't know how bad it is in Horsham on Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights. It's quite bad in Guildford. There are areas in central Guildford, around the clubs and things, where it's not a place where you would want to be late on Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights. Although there are the believers that go with these badges, and they're street angels, and they they're there to help people who want to be helped. But we know this, that when alcohol is taken in excess, then the behaviour of the people who have taken that excess of alcohol is changed. They act differently, they speak differently, they do things that they would not have done had they not been filled with wine. Generally speaking, the things that they do are far worse than the things that they would have done were they not intoxicated with wine. How says the scripture? Instead of being filled with wine, be filled with the Spirit of God. Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will act differently from the way that you would normally act. You will speak differently from the way that you would normally speak. Your actions will be different. But this time, noticeably better than they would have been in your natural state. Now you see the beauty of the illustration. That we don't act normally. We don't act like the people we really are. When we're filled with the Spirit, He transforms us to do things and say things that we would not do and could not do otherwise. And those will be for the benefit of all around us. And then he says in verse 19, keep singing. Now, I don't know if you do it, but we have hymns, and we have favourite hymns and even choruses from childhood years, and maybe when you're wandering around at home, well, perhaps I'm abnormal, but perhaps when you're wandering, you find yourself humming or even singing the words to a hymn or a chorus, and we're encouraged to do that. You never know, somebody might be listening and discover something that you're giving thanks to the Lord. Now that brings us to verse 21. Now verse 21 is really a key verse. It's a key verse in preparation for the next block of the remainder of the verses that I read to you. It's the key. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, it almost sums up all the rest of the verses that we read. Submitting yourselves one to another. Now then, we're looking here at three types of relationships. Relationship in marriage, relationship in the family, relationship in the workplace. And here is the Bible's template for a harmonious relationship in marriage, a harmonious relationship in the family, and a harmonious relationship in the workplace. And let me tell you that the Bible's template to achieve these things is quite different from the template that the world would seek to use to bring this about, and the world system doesn't work. Earlier in the book, we were told about how there can be harmony in the church. And it started off by saying that we're all one in Christ. And then it says, but we all have different things to do. We all have different gifts. And that's the essence of it. Harmony in marriage or the family or the workplace does not come by seeking to achieve equality. And ideas would point that way, even legislation tries to make it that way, but that does not work. Harmony comes about after a recognition that the parties in these relationships are different and have different roles to play. And so we're told that wives should submit to husbands. On the other hand, husbands should love their wives. Now, of course, it's quite easy to see who has the easiest job there, isn't it? It's far easier to submit than it is to love. Submitting is a sort of passive action, isn't it? Love is a 24/7, as they would say, exercise. For a wife to submit to a husband, well, that becomes ever so easy if the husband has a sacrificial love towards his wife. And if a husband has a sacrificial love towards a wife, it is far easier then. inferior supplies. In that relationship, each recognizing the different role, if each performs, then there is a harmonious marriage. Do you want to say anything more on that? Because that's a section I want to come back to next week when we also finish off chapter 6. Children and parents. The tendency now would be suggest, you know, that children should be demanding that their parents respect them and their views. And that way you will get harmony, not the scriptural way. Children are told to obey their parents. But parents are told, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't identify or isolate inappropriate things. Choose the ground properly. Don't pick holes in things that are quite inappropriate or unnecessary to pick holes in. But rather, lovingly teach the things of the Lord by example as well as by word. Discipline is appropriate when necessary. But you see, it's much simpler for a child to obey a parent when that they know that parent has a great love for them and demonstrates to them the right way of doing things by their own example. And of course, it is easier for parents, Christian parents, to do that when children are obedient. And then it comes to servants and masters. Now I know that the ground gets a bit muddied these days. In many instances, people are a bit of both, aren't they? Many folk who work have people that answer to them, but they in turn answer to others, in which case both parts of it apply. But there weren't all of these levels of management in days gone by. There was a master and there were slaves. We've put in all of these tiers. You see, if you took all those away, that would save all the money that we're in deficit, wouldn't it? You know, this is the argument, isn't it, with saving money in the public services. That as soon as you want to save money, they talk about the frontline services and cutting out, instead of cutting out all those people in the middle, and nobody really knows what they do, but they go into an office day after day and come away with a lot of money. But that's an aside. Sorry. Slaves, it says. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters. Do what they ask you to do. Do it well. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it all the hours that you are supposed to be working. Don't just do it when they are looking. Do it all the time, as if you were doing it to God, who can see you anyway. That's the instructions. Not joint management committees, you know, by several people up there and members of a union down here. No. Do what you're asked to do. But Christian masters. Ah. Don't threaten. Don't be harsh. Be firm. Be fair. Don't make threats. Have respect for the people that work for you. Remember that you yourself have a heavenly master. And remember how he treats you. Now then, servants will find it quite easy to work well for a master who treats them with that sort of respect. And a master will find it very easy to treat with respect those who work well for him. So you see, the harmony in these environments actually comes from a recognition of difference between parties, and those parties doing as the Bible would instruct. Now, what I would like to do next Thursday, God willing, is to go back to the section on husbands, and not now just talk about husbands and wives, but extract from it the amazing teaching with regard to Christ and the church. And then, when we've had a look at that, to have a look at the last part of chapter 6, which refers to what we call the armour of God. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for your precious word. We thank you that it's it guides us. We thank you that it warns us. We thank you that it encourages us in a particular direction. We pray that you would help us to be imitators of you. Help us to steer clear of absolutely everything that is inappropriate. Help us to lift ourselves above it so that you can shine on us and through us into this dark world. Help us to be filled with your Spirit so that the things that we do are not the things that we would do, but the things that you are able to do through us. Help us in the relationships that we have to recognize our responsibilities and to fulfill them, thereby bringing harmony in every environment that we are involved in, be it at home, family, workplace, and in your local church. We thank you for this opportunity to look at your word, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Spirit that enlightens your word. We pray that you will help us in these coming days as we seek to serve you better. We ask these things afresh, giving thanks in and through the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.